Good morning, everyone. I wanted to jam with you all on a topic that I think is super relevant given the workout of the day today. And that topic is breathing. You know, on a more broad scale, we could call this, or we would say that this falls under the umbrella of aerobic capacity. But we're going to get really specific, A, so that this podcast isn't 30 minutes long, and B, because I think that this has been a question that has come up for me in a couple of different ways as of recent, which is, you know, come up in like, why am I out of breath during WODs? How do I improve my conditioning? I feel like I'm good with the strength stuff, but as soon as, you know, we add running or rowing in, I have a really tough time. So I wanted to address this much more pinpoint rather than trying to cover too many bases at once. So the first thing to understand is that breathing has two avenues that we gotta attack. One being the organic adaptation, that is your body's ability to utilize oxygen for energy. So an organic adaptation means that you need to train in this capacity in order for your body to improve in its ability, right? So in other words, if you do the work, your body will make adaptations, right? This is kind of rather cause and effect. And it's not that there isn't any purpose behind this. There obviously is a reason why we do certain running or rowing splits with certain rest intervals. But at the end of the day, the body does a fantastic job at naturally making these adaptations. We're not going to dive too much into that because I don't think that that is necessarily something that's going to be super helpful for you guys at this moment. Just know that on my end, there's a reason we do certain splits over others and certain rest intervals and that those types of things. That's more for me to worry about, but I needed you to understand the difference between the two of these. So the second one you have a much greater influence over, and that is learning how to breathe properly. So one of the first things to note is that part of this is the control within the abdominals and the diaphragm. The more that the better ability you have to use your ab muscles, right, and the muscles around your core without holding your breath, the better your ability will be to be in an aerobic setting where you can still maintain core tension without compromising your respiratory rate. And for many of you, you have no idea that this is even happening. You get into an aerobic workout, and let's say you're doing something like running, right? There is literally nothing we are going to do in the gym, right, other than lie on the ground passively, you know, in Savasana, in a yoga class once in a while, that will require you to be at complete and total rest of the abdominals and of the core muscles. So with that being said, they are involved with everything that we do. So let's say we're doing something like running, right? When I teach you guys and we go through running drills, we always, always go back to the abs have to be turned on as you're running. The problem here then it lies in the fact that if you are getting out of breath, right? Or let's just say you are, pushing the pace, the intensity is high, and your body starts to need more oxygen. If you are going back and forth between fighting, trying to hold your breath to sustain core tension and pressure, and increase your respiratory rate, right, or focus on your breathing in order to give your body more oxygen, there's this back and forth going on here, and it's not going to lead to a sustainable breathing pattern, right? So I hope you guys are getting where I'm trying to go here, right? There's this tug of war going on between your inability to sustain core tension and also be able to maintain your respiratory rate necessary in order to give your body the oxygen that it needs. Ways to fix this would be things like 90-90 breathing. This has been a big surprise for me. So I injured my back about 2 years ago, and one of the main things that I would say has given me just general overall good health again in my back, and surprisingly helped in different areas, you know, it's kind of one of those things that I discovered by accident, was that a lot of the things that I did involved 90-90 breathing up against the wall. I've done this with some of you guys before. If you go on YouTube and search 90-90 breathing, it will come up. I will also try to throw this in as a warm-up at some point again soon. But this is something that's super, super simple for you guys to do. I used to do it. I would prop up against the wall and do like a 20-minute meditation session this way, because it really does force you to focus on your breath. At the same time, it helps reset the pelvis and the rib cage, and it teaches you how to breathe properly while maintaining abdominal control. And it was something, I'm not going to lie to you, I was terrible at it when I first started. And I think that was rather, a red flag that to why I had back issues in the first place. And it's been interesting coming back into doing some CrossFit Metcon. So I took some time off. And when I say some time, I mean like years to focus on weightlifting. It was super awesome, but a large part of me misses the aerobic work and just the workouts that come up in CrossFit. So I've been putting them back in, and what I have found is I've had a really tough time anaerobically recovering, meaning when I have lactic acid buildup, my body has a tough time ridding of it. So I'll just sit there in pain for a long period of time after like a short fast workout. Aerobically, I feel better than when I was doing CrossFit 6-7 days a week prior to getting into weightlifting. And I think a huge part of that is my ability now to brace properly, but also be able to breathe in the same process. And that's gone a long way. So that's one of the first things I wanted to bring up, is learning how to breathe abdominally so that way you're getting in full breath every single time. And also understand what it means to be able to keep tension while breathing, right? Because once you have that tug of war going on, depending on what you're asking your body to do, sometimes holding your breath is going to win. And when your heart rate's already up and your respiratory rate's already jacked through the roof, and your body's forcing you to hold your breath, even on a micro level for little short periods of time throughout a workout, it's only going to continue to put you more into the deficit. All right, the second thing, which this, again, falls a little bit more on me, but you guys can at the very least start to think about the purpose and the why behind all of the things that we do. And this comes down to pacing. Sometimes you guys are out of breath because you don't understand your body and you don't understand how to pace correctly. So when we give these talks in the beginning of class, as far as like how to approach the workout and, what your pacing should look like throughout the workout, given the duration, the movements, the intensities, those types of things, you have to really think about before you jump into this, like, what is my body capable of and how can I sustain a pace that will optimally utilize my energy for this type of time duration, right? So let's just take a single modality example just to make things simple. Let's say I have you row for 10 minutes, right, for distance, and then another day we do 20 minutes for distance, and then another day we do 30 minutes for distance. Ideally, you don't have a bunch of peaks and valleys, right? You essentially ramp up, you sit for a while, and maybe have a kick at the end. And this would be the same for pretty much every single one of your races, right? The 10, the 20, and the 30 minutes. what is likely happening, and you, if you want to, honestly, do this test on your own, because what's great about single modality work, like a rower, is the fact that it's giving you objective feedback while you're rowing, and you can go back into the monitor and look at some of this stuff, see how good you are at determining a pace and then maintaining it, right? So if you go out on the 10-minute mark, or if you go out on the for the 10-minute row, and you're pulling a 140 for the first 3 minutes, and then you drop to a 155 for the next 4 minutes, and then the last 3 minutes you're at a 210, you clearly went out of the gate way too hard on that row. You probably should have been sitting closer to the 150, 155 range for the entire thing, right? Then you can do this for the 20-minute row and the 30-minute. And what you'll likely find is that you have a better ability to be consistent in certain time durations than in others. So for those of you that do great on the 10, you're likely not so great on the 30, right? And you, by determining and looking at those ebbs and flows within that data of when you sped up and slowed down, you can then determine which time durations you need to work on. And these are great opportunities, you know, like when a weekend comes around and let's say you guys aren't going to be into the gym, but you want to get a quick workout in, go to the reservoir or go to a track or go to a trail and work on the time durations that you're just bad at, right? Not only will you receive that organic adaptation that I was talking about in terms of your body's utilization of the oxygen, but you'll also develop a greater understanding for your ability to breathe properly within that time duration, right? Understanding your respiratory rate, understanding the pace that you need to maintain in order to keep your respiratory rate under control. Not every workout needs to feel like you're dying either, right? Like you could do something as simple as like 4 800-meter runs at a moderate pace, just so you can feel like every 800 was the exact time every single time, right? And your ability to develop consistency in your aerobic capacities will help you tremendously when you get back into workouts, because you know your body 10 times better. I know with our athletes, I think some of the most valuable experiences they have throughout the season is when we do a large chunk of aerobic capacity work in both running, rowing, and biking, because you get so much feedback about your ability to pace. And this is important for them and myself. But again, the things that I really wanted to kind of stress here are A, making sure that you understand how to breathe abdominally, right? B, developing your ability to do that through strengthening your abdominals, while being able to breathe. And then the last one is just grasping a better understanding of pacing, right? Are you somebody that always crashes and burns? Are you somebody that goes out of the gate way too hard? Are you somebody that doesn't go out hard enough, right? And then maybe you push way too hard at the end trying to play catch up. You need to take a step back and look at all these things objectively and then come into each workout with a little bit more purpose to give yourself some direction. I hope all this has helped. This is we're barely skimming the surface here. This was my attempt at kind of trying to get really specific with breathing, without, accidentally treading water over into different aerobic capacity topics. But, today will be a great workout to practice some of this, given the fact that it's a little bit more interval based, seeing if you can maintain your round times, focusing on your breathing during the rest, during the workout today, since they're rather long. We obviously will spend more time on the road running since it's nice out. So, these are all great opportunities this summer to get a better understanding of how to control your breathing during workouts. So cool. Today's going to be a rough one, but it'll be good. I figured I would give you guys something to think about. I will see everyone later.